This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Dr. Edith Hill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren.
Now, let's find out what's happening on TikTok at the moment. Apparently, best friends are starting to get together. What are they doing?
Oh, my gosh. This is such a laugh. People, best friends, mothers and daughters sometimes are getting together and sharing things their exes did and they still stay.
Oh, I reckon I could do that.
What is, I could too, trust me.
What are there some things you can share with us that the exes did?
Yeah, look, some of them are a bit too much for the radio, so highly recommend people go and have a watch. But some of them are like, accused me of cheating because I was talking to our 70-year-old neighbour over the fence, wouldn't go to my grandpa's funeral with me because he was upset his football team lost, wouldn't stop doing a certain very illicit drug with his friend because he said it was a friendship-building activity.
My goodness. So if we want to see these, how do we search them?
Search things my ex did and I still stayed. It's usually people doing it in pairs. It's a lot of, like, young best friends. Mm. I find some of the best ones are with the older friends doing it because you've lived. You've got a lot more stories. The mother and daughter ones are really interesting for a lot of reasons, I think, because usually you've seen, you know, the child has seen their parent through this situation. They might even be talking about the other parent or about a previous step-parent or something like that. Those ones are really complex and interesting, or that the person looks shocked, and sometimes you can tell that the friend has not been told previously before this video that this was something that had happened. So it's like a venting exercise. It's a bit of fun, but some of the things are really serious, but at least they're coming at it with, you know, having a laugh.
Have any of the exes seen them and then come back and said anything or done one of those splicing things that happen?
Not that I've seen, but I would not be surprised because these videos are getting millions and tens of millions sometimes views, so would not be surprised. But also, if I was one of the exes, I would definitely would not come out and say, hey, that was actually this, because you're just outing yourself for being a bad person.
That's true. Now, let's move on to something else. Gaslighting, it's often a word, I suppose, that we associate with some of these nasty relationships that might have happened with our ex, etc., and what have you. But a teacher is doing it with some words. Tell us about that.
This one, I'm on board for. I think this is hilarious. The only time I will co-sign gaslighting. There's this really amazing teacher in America, and he's gaslighting his students by making up his own slang words and then acting like they're stupid for not knowing what the slang words are. So he'll come up with his own words and then slip them into conversation. And I think how he gets away with it, I mean, don't know if he is now because I'm sure the students have seen the videos, but he is a relief teacher across multiple schools. So he'll say, oh, really? If you haven't heard that, I mean, the kids over at X school are saying it all the time. And the kids go, oh, yeah, right. And then they'll start using it. Or he'll say it to the middle schoolers and be like, oh, but the high school kids are saying it. And they go, oh, yeah, no, okay. And then they start using the words too.
It'd be interesting because he's over multiple schools. I reckon some of these words could take off.
I think, yes. I haven't slipped them into conversation with any of my students yet, but I'm planning to next week just to test the waters, just to see how it goes. I'll report back and let you know if it works. But people in the comments are saying, like, I have started saying this and, like, these things are coming in to my vocab, you know, because some of them are really clever. Some of them are, like, saying something is parked. So you're like, oh, no, that's parked. Oh, if something's parked, it's not moving, it's boring, it's done. Oh, it's parked, you know. And we use variations of this already, like, oh, park that idea. But saying something is parked, it means it's done.
There's a finite thing on it, isn't it? It's done, finished. Don't mention it.
It's
I love
parked.
It, parked. Let's start using it on drive.
Yeah.
Any
the
others?
Conversation's parked, Warren. Over.
Oh, it's parked. Okay.
Yes, another one that I really liked was was pebbles. So he said if something's pebbles, it's little, it's easy, it's manageable. Like a mountain, big. Boulders, big. Pebbles, cruisy. It's easy, you know, it's pebbles. It's all good.
Love it. What's gravel?
Oh, God, who knows?
We're chatting with Dr. Edith Hill, Associate Lecturer in Learning and Teaching Innovation at Flinders University, about what everyone's talking about on TikTok. That conversation's parked. Let's move on to the next one. I find this a little bit concerning, and that is America potentially banning TikTok, or at least forcing a sale of it. And what I find even more interesting is that Donald Trump has, who was all for the ban when he was president, is now saying that it shouldn't be done and is pro-TikTok. And I wonder why. Tell us what's happening there.
This is such a big question, right? I mean, TikTok is huge, biggest social media platform around at the moment. And yeah, like you said, the US is trying to force ByteDance, who's the company that owns TikTok, to sell TikTok or sell it to a company that's not based in China. They're concerned about data privacy and all of these things, and don't want a Chinese-owned company to be in charge of this thing. But there's a lot of stuff going on here. You know, a lot of people in America are making their livings on TikTok.
Well,
there's lots
right.
of money that goes into this. So it would be causing a massive lack in jobs. It also, I think America, don't quote me on these numbers, but has about 170 million US users. And that's a lot of people who are going to be pissed that their favorite social media app is gone. It doesn't just provide entertainment. It provides a sense of community and conversation. People are making their livings. A lot of artists use it for promotion and marketing. It would be a huge, huge thing to get rid of an app like this. And a lot of the conversations are around, you know, data and privacy, but American companies farm your data too. There's a lot of fear around here. And I mean, you exist online, someone's using your data. You know, it's just, it's one of the cost benefit, weighing the risks kind of situation for me anyway, where it's like, yeah, maybe I wouldn't want everyone to know my business, but then I'm not going to put my business out there for everyone to know if that was what I was worried about, right?
And the other thing is, if you put it on one of the other, on Meta's, you know, Instagram or something like that, I mean, people can see it anyway. And we know that hacks occur. We know that privacy data gets sold by certain people on the dark web. So I don't see it as a solution necessarily. What do you think, though, if they force a sale of the app TikTok? Do you reckon that'll make a difference?
Well, the thing is, data's going to be collected and mined regardless, in my opinion. Like, I know that if I go onto any website, if I go to look up a banana bread recipe, I'm clicking accept all cookies, and they know that I'm looking at vegan banana bread. And that means I'm going to get ads for almond milk because I looked up vegan banana bread. And it means I'm going to get ads for different health products because I'm a person of a certain demographic buying certain products, looking up certain things. And that's just existing on the internet for most people. The idea of pushing a company for a sale like that is really interesting, and I don't know if it's going to happen. I've seen some really great commentary on this subject from people on TikTok themselves saying that, you know, the idea, people have a lot of opinions, and saying that, you know, in response to everyone going, oh, well, it's never going to happen, they can't do this to us, da-da-da-da-da, is a very, like, American-centric kind of viewpoint where they have billions of users and only 170 million of them are in America. So would the company, you know, cost themselves a significant, you know, amount of effort and time and money having to go through a sale of something, or would they just cop the loss of the US user base, you know? I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's a very interesting thing that I'm definitely going to be keeping my eyes on to see what happens.
Edith, the Australian government has said that they're not considering a ban of TikTok here, but of course it is not allowed on official government phones. Imagine, let's just hypothetically say that there was a ban. What implications would that have on someone like yourself?
oh, it would change my research a lot. Mm. It would change my daily work life. We use it for a lot of, data collection. So when we talk about, our data is being collected, it's not just by companies trying to sell you things. Like, researchers are out there looking at how people are creating content, how young people tell stories. My whole PhD was on how people shared health and illness narratives online. And I did data collection on TikTok. So it wasn't just collecting people's numbers and information. Obviously, it was like, how are we talking about things? How do we share stories? This is how, young people share and live. And there's so much discourse and nuance that goes on in these situations. It would change everything. I would also be scrolling a lot less. So I guess there's that benefit too. But
and
I
we wouldn't
know.
Have you
I think
here.
It would be really... Exactly. And you'd miss me. I just think it's a really interesting thing. And the idea of, we can force a Chinese company to sell a app that they have just because we don't like them is a little ridiculous. And to be honest, a lot of the conversation around, the reactions, I should say, that people had to the CEO of TikTok in the Senate in America talking about it was realizing that a lot of the people interviewing him or grilling him on the stand were coming at it from a bit of a racist standpoint, assuming that he must have been Chinese when he's from Singapore and asking if he has, any relation to the Chinese Communist Party. And he goes, no, I'm from Singapore. Like, yes, we have this company that is the parent of TikTok, but that doesn't mean that we're, in the Chinese Communist Party's pockets. Like, there's a lot of this stuff that is really ill-informed from some of the people who are actually very involved, which is a bit worrying.
And trying to whip up a bit of fear too, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot of fear-mongering. It's a lot of, what's China going to do with our data? When in reality, a lot of companies outsource things to China, that's totally fine. It's just a thing that happens, I don't know. It's very complex and complicated. I'm sure there are things that I don't know about this situation, but from the reactions that we're seeing, people in America and around the world are not happy with how the Senate was going about the interview of the CEO of TikTok, and are not going to be very displeased if the app does get banned in America.
My view is, if you don't want something to be known, just don't put it online.
Yeah. And there are ways you can protect yourself, not accepting all cookies like I do when I go into every website. There are ways that you can stop or try and prevent apps from tracking your information. You can use VPNs, so you can stop people being able to see what network you're connecting from and all that kind of stuff. So if that is something you're concerned about, have a Google, have a look around. There are things that you can do. But also, it is always a cost-benefit risk to think, okay, if you want to be using these things and want to be enjoying social media and the community and connection and entertainment, then you need to be aware that people are going to look at what you're doing. And maybe you're okay with that and maybe you're not. That's a personal choice. But to ban an entire app from a country that's so onto their whole free speech thing seems a little bit complicated.
Edith, great to chat with you again. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. So we'll chat to you again next week. I won't be here next week. I'm taking the week off. So you'll be chatting to our executive producer, Con.
Love it. Love having a chat, whether it's you or Con. I'm here for it.
Fantastic. Catch you next week. Thanks, Edith.
Bye.
That is Dr. Edith Hill.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.